I've noticed that the first two sessions sold out, so we've got some extra CDs today. If you missed session one or session two, you can pick them up at the bookstore. And while you're turning to Proverbs chapter 5, I'm going to quote our foundation scripture that we're using for the series, and that is Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. And it says this: through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. As we said in the first two sessions, that word house is the Hebrew word bayith, and it does not refer to a structure with walls and doors. The word bayith literally means family. So by wisdom is a family, or a life, or a home builded or repaired. And by understanding it is established. And we saw in session number one that God has given us wisdom so that we can live a successful life, so that we can live a life according to His original plan. And that wisdom has been set aside for the righteous. And when you tap into that wisdom, it'll radically change your life. And one of the biggest things that we need to understand as we live this life for Christ is that salvation is free. It's a gift. But it cost God His only Son. So there was a price paid that was precious to bring you to Jesus and bring you out of the world and transform your life. Blood was shed so that you could be free. And now God has given us His Word and the Holy Spirit so that we can tap into godly wisdom and navigate through life and stay free of the traps and the pitfalls that await us. How many of you know that we do have an adversary? You do have someone who is opposed to you. And Jesus described him like this in John 10:10. The thief, and that's what he is, only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, that abundant life is found in Jesus Christ, in His Word. And so that's what I'm going to share with you throughout this series, but especially today. Now, Proverbs chapter 5, are you there? Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about sex? Most people don't realize how much the Bible has to say on the subject. Now, in our earlier sessions, we looked at Genesis chapter 1 when God created man and created woman. And the Bible says that God saw what He had created. And He said to them, be fruitful, be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply, dominate the earth, subdue it. And then it said He stepped back, look at what He created, and He didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. Now, I want you to understand this one thing. God made us the way we are. You have your seatbelts buckled?
Yep.
Okay. God created us the way we are. He formed Adam from the dust of the ground, molded his body, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the first man, Adam, God had created him, and it was very good. Then He took one of his ribs, not one of his bones from his feet or from his head, but one of his ribs, and built a woman. And when Adam saw her, he said, wow. Literally, one of the translations says, about time. About time, at last. And he said, she shall be called Isha, for she came out of Ish. She shall be called woman, for she came out of man. But when he saw that first woman, I'm sure he was excited. Now listen to me. The first Adam. I hear a child somewhere. Who is that? Oh, okay.
Little baby.
Cool, that's Dash. All right. I didn't want any little kids in here today, okay? But he's cool. He he's young enough, he might go, I know what I'm saying.
Mommy, what's up?
Hey, listen. When God made the first man, God made him with a penis. When he made the first woman, he made her with a vagina. And he stepped back and looked and said, this is very good. Now, the reason I said that was not to shock you. But I want you to understand this. Sex was God's idea.
Amen.
It was His original plan. Adam said, so shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's God's original design. And so in the kingdom of God, from God's perspective, there is nothing dirty about sex. There's nothing bad about sex. Sex was God's original design. But God has placed rules and guidelines that govern the way we should live our lives. Are you with me?
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with sex. And so don't think, because there is in the Christian church a concept, if you will, and if you were raised with a particular religious background that shall go unnamed, because I don't want to offend anybody, I'm going to offend enough people as it is, that give you the impression there's something wrong with sex, something dirty about sex. I mean, the Immaculate Conception involved no sex. And so it gives you the impression that conception in the other way is not immaculate or clean. Are you with me?
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with sex. God made us that way. Now, let me go a step further. If you have sexual desire, there's nothing wrong with you. God put that in you so that we could continue the human species.
Amen.
But we have a responsibility, especially as believers, to live our lives controlled by the Spirit and not our bodies.
Amen.
Now we're going to get into this and you're going to learn some things. Are you in Proverbs chapter 5 yet?
Yes.
Notice what it says. And you know, when I've been praying about this for days. I first taught this series, oh boy, back in 1986 or something. I had to step in for a minister and teach it at a Bible college in Missouri. And it was the first time I'd done a marriage seminar, and I taught the subject. And I used to teach this stuff and then have Q&A sessions. I stopped doing that. I quit doing that because some of the same questions came up every time. And a lot of times I'm watching wives ask questions and their husband wants to die. He just wants to crawl in a hole and disappear. And it was really tough for people, so I quit doing the Q&A sessions. I'll try to cover all the material, though. But Proverbs chapter 5, notice what it says. This is the wisdom of God. Notice verse 15. Drink waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only your own, and not strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Now, very eloquent verses of Scripture, but do you know what the writer of Proverbs is talking about? Sex. And he's talking about fulfilling your sexual desire. Drink waters out of your own cistern. Now, a cistern is nothing more than a covered well. And a covered well simply means that everybody doesn't have access to it. It only belongs to the person who has covered that well. Now, the Bible also uses some very explicit language. And I'm just going to covered well. A covered well is protected. It is only accessed by the person that owns that well. Anybody can get in the ditch. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that comes by can get in the ditch. It's using very explicit language to describe the way we should live our lives. Now, as a man, as a husband, you should satisfy your sexual desire with your wife. Your covered well. Drink waters out of your own cistern. Running waters. And there are several translations when it talks about the fountain. Let your fountain be blessed. I'm not talking about the spigot in your backyard. I'm talking about the male organ. Let your fountain be blessed. And it literally says, don't let the waters of your fountain run through the streets, but keep them within the walls of your home. That's my paraphrase. Are y'all with me? Y'all still awake?
Yep.
All right. Some of y'all look like you're chucked. Don't worry, it gets better. Okay, listen. God wants you to enjoy sex. Everybody say enjoy.
Enjoy.
Because it's His idea. It's His original plan. And without understanding that, we end up putting ourselves in situations where things don't work out very well. Now, I said a moment ago that I've been praying about this for days. And the one thing the Holy Spirit shared with me this morning was, slow down and take your time. Because normally when I hit this subject, I hit it, well, you know, I just, okay, I taught that, boom, move on to the next thing. The Lord said, take your time. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my time. Sex is God's idea. God created sex for procreation so that we could have children, number one, and for pleasure, number two. But sex is to be expressed within the confines of a covenant marriage relationship.
Amen.
Adam said, so shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That is God's original plan. Alright? But God intended sex for procreation and for pleasure. Now, let me prove this to you. Go back to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 19. Verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Can I say that in church? Breast? Yeah, the Bible says. Be thou ravished always with her love. Now, the word ravish is an old English word that literally means to be intoxicated. Be intoxicated with her love. Now, all of us have experiences with people who have had addictions with different things. But I remember when I was growing up, we used to call people who were alcoholics, you know, we referred to them as winos. You know, some of the people that I was very small, very young. And these were people that I knew as a young person growing up who were drunk all the time. I mean, they were drunk constantly. I can think of several people. I can't remember ever seeing them sober. Always lit up. Now, listen. How do you stay intoxicated? You don't have a sip every once in a while. You've got to constantly be sipping or drinking to stay intoxicated. So here the writer of Proverbs is saying, you should have a healthy, vibrant sexual relationship with your spouse to the degree that you're intoxicated with her love. Now, listen to me. There are three big areas where most marriages encounter big problems. Those three are communication, sex, and money. Those are the big three. More marriages break up. Now, you know, when I first started teaching this, it was the sex thing. There were more divorces because of people going outside the marriage for sex than anything else. I think now it's shifted more towards money. Are you with me? Not to say the other's not an issue. And in all my years of counseling people who are married, And so we talk about all of these things. In fact, the real estate broker who helped us find this property is Roman Catholic. And his wife now is also Roman Catholic. She had been divorced. She was in an abusive relationship in another state. Well, in the Roman Catholic Church, if you've been divorced, you can't get married in the church. Well, they love God. They never get married in church. He said, "Do you marry divorced people?" I said, "Well, yeah, let's talk about it." And so they were the first couple that was married in this church. But when they sat down with me, and I told the guy, I said, "Look, you helped us so much. You worked with us for years trying to find a suitable piece of property." I said, "I would do your wedding as a courtesy to you." I said, "But I have a premarital counseling course that goes over 4 sessions. It's about 6 hours worth of instruction. And everybody who's gone through my class and that I have married, I'm batting 1,000. No divorces." His fiancée said, "We're taking your class." And they did. They did great. And so, you know, there are some things we need to learn about marriage and marriage relationships because, I mean, this isn't innate. It's not birthed in you. You have to be taught this stuff. It's like taking a 7-year-old and throwing him in the swimming pool and say, "Swim." Well, you ought to teach him something first. You don't want him to drown. And that's what happens. A lot of people live their lives and their marriages apart from God's word and his wisdom, and they get out there and they drown. Their relationships drown. Their families drown. And individually, they drown. And so my job is to prevent you from drowning. So, God intended sex to be enjoyed between a husband and a wife. All right? And the Bible has so much to say about it. In fact, in the New Testament, one of the writers said, you know, you need to enjoy and have a nice, vibrant sexual relationship, that the only reason you don't come together for sex is that if you both agree, you're going to fast and pray. Are you with me? And it says, defraud not yourself one for another. In other words, don't use sex as a weapon. Ladies, you know, hubby didn't buy you that brand new washing machine. So, huh? Okay. You're not getting none for a month. Wrong. Okay. You didn't like your wife the way your wife made your eggs? So you're going to hold back. Well, you might say, "Well, Pastor Bill, that's not a problem." Listen to me. Whenever people come to me for counseling, it's always confidential. It stays right in the office. But I can tell you that almost more than 50% of the time when I counsel with couples and sex is an issue, at least 50% of the time it is the wife telling me she's not getting enough sex from her husband. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, "Boy, handle your business. What's wrong with you?" No, I don't say that. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Sex is not to be used as a weapon, but it's to be enjoyed mutually by a husband and a wife. You all still out there? Did you leave yet? All right? That's what the Bible says. Be intoxicated always with her love. Listen, when you violate God's purpose, it brings bondage. Now, let me show you how important this is. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And we're not going to get through this today. But at least we're going to share enough truth that you'll have something to ponder this week. Acts chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 24. Now, as I said in one of the earlier sessions, the biggest challenge that we have as believers is our culture. Our culture is constantly sending messages to us, and listen to me, and our children about sex. I've always said to men, teach your young boys about sex. If you don't, somebody else will. And they may not teach them the right thing. I guarantee you they will not teach them the right thing. Here's another thing. When your children are very young, and this is not in my notes, and this is the first time I've said this. When your children are very young, watch who they hang around. Be careful who they hang around with. When I moved my family back to Erie, son down and had a conversation with him. And I said, there are certain people that I never want you to be alone with. And I started naming them. Some of them were relatives. Now, I had no evidence that these people had ever abused a child sexually, but I wasn't taking any chances. There was something about these people that didn't set well in my spirit. And, you know, there are telltale signs. You know, you got a second, third cousin, great uncle, whatever. And here this man is 50-some years old. He's always hanging around with young boys. Never saw him with his wife. Never. Always had two or three little boys with him. That ain't right. Are you with me? And so I wasn't taking any chances. I said, if you ever find yourself alone with one of these people or a stranger, I don't care where you are, I don't care what time it is, call me, Daddy will come get you. Protect your children. Listen, we let people watch our kids who we wouldn't let drive our car. Which one's more important? Don't be the kind of lazy parent that you just throw your kids off on anybody. Can you watch my kid? You know, neighbor across the street, guy upstairs, you know, cousin Pookie. I said Pookie, not Pooka. Pookie. Okay? If you don't know these people, don't let them hang around your kids. Many times that's where abuse starts. Because the parent wasn't paying attention. Are you with me?
Yep.
And there are times when you are paying attention and it still happens. But you need to protect your kids as a parent. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Alright? So if you don't feel comfortable in your spirit about certain people, don't give them access to your children. We read the horror stories every day. Every day. And children that have been touched that way and abused that way carry those scars for decades. It's best if you can just avoid that stuff. And as adults, some of us have been abused when we were children. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus is the healer. Not only of the physical body, but all those emotional scars that have been left in your life. So what we're doing is we're teaching you godly wisdom so that you can apply it to your life. Alright? I don't care what happened in your life yesterday, last week, last month. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I could care less. The only thing I care about is what you do from here on. See, it doesn't matter where you came from. What only matters is where you're going. And if you'll go God's way, He'll take you places that you never dreamed of.
Amen.
He'll bless your life. He'll enrich your life in such a way that you will be just blown away.
Yep.
You'll be saying, I didn't know it could be this good. I had no idea it could be this good. That's how God does things if we'll follow His plan. Now, Acts chapter 15. We're talking about our contemporary culture, where everything has been sexualized, where sex is the norm. Not only that, things have progressed to an extreme, if you will. And so, in the early church, they had their first church council, because there were men, and you have to understand that the first believers in the New Testament were all Jews. They were Messianic Jews. They were Jewish believers. The first Gentile to be saved is found in Acts chapter 8 when the Ethiopian eunuch who had charge of all of Candace the Queen's money got saved. Philip went down there, won this guy to Jesus, and baptized him. First Gentile to be saved. And then we go to Acts chapter 10, the first Italian to be saved, Cornelius. Peter won him and his household to the Lord. So for the first 20 years of church history, the church was almost 100% Jewish. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, let's fast forward many years down the road, and there's a controversy within the church. There are men who were teaching Gentiles, not Jews, but Gentiles, that yes, you've received Messiah, yes, you've been born again, But if you want to maintain your salvation, you've got to be like us and keep the law and be circumcised and observe the holy days. And so, you know, there were some people that said, well, you know, this is what we practiced all our lives. This has to be God's way. That's what He told us to do. Yeah, that was you. He didn't tell them to do it. And so they got together and had their first church council. Notice what happened. Acts chapter 15. Notice verse 24. This was the result of this first big meeting. Back up to verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, sent greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. And this is what they said. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us and have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Notice this. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Notice verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, follow me. There were Jewish brethren who had taught these Gentiles, in order for you to maintain your salvation, it's necessary that you keep the law of Moses. Well, the Holy Ghost and these church leaders knew that wasn't the truth. And so they said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things that are necessary. Everybody say necessary.
Necessary.
So what is necessary? Notice what he said. Verse 29, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. Now, in our contemporary culture, we don't deal with three of these items. You know, we don't have, when's the last time you saw anybody drinking blood offered to an idol? Not in our modern culture. When's the last time you had somebody encourage you to, drink blood? Well, we don't do that. Unless you're into vampirism, and that's just nuts. That's unhealthy. God knew it back then. They didn't know it. He knew it. Don't do that. Don't drink blood. Good way to get sick. Don't eat meat that's been offered to some idol god just out of Christian conscience. Are you with me?
Yep.
And don't eat meat that's been from an animal that's been strangled. Don't do that. But notice number four. Fornication. Now, remember now, he said, these are the things that are necessary. What is fornication? You know, there's one of those Bible words that we throw around. It sounds nasty. But a lot of people don't know what it is. Fornication. It sounds bad. Fornication. What is fornication? It's a Greek word, porneia, which literally means illicit sexual activity. Okay? It refers to sex outside the marriage covenant. Porneia has a broad application. Alright? This is one of the things that the early church and the Holy Ghost thought was so important that they wrote to the Gentiles and said, here's the things that are necessary. Notice that's listed there. Now, in our modern culture, sex outside of marriage is no big deal. You know, there's the old expression, well, everybody doing it? No, everybody not doing it. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. And I grew up in the 70s where we had a motto, hey, if it feels good, do it. And we did it. Okay. Now, just because we did doesn't mean that was God's plan.
Right.
It wasn't. He's trying to keep us healthy and keep us alive. Are you with me?
Yep.
Well, Pastor Young, I mean, hey, it's 2014. Yeah, I know. And the Bible is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. Why? Because human nature hasn't changed and neither has God.
Amen.
may have changed, but he didn't. Are you with me?
Yep.
Now, you've got to ask yourself a question. Am I being influenced by the culture, or am I influencing the culture? Well, I think for the most part, we've been influenced by the culture. It's important to God what you do with your body.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yep.
Don't disconnect yet. I got some more good stuff for you. How many of y'all come back next week? Come on, let me see your hand. Yeah, I'm going to do the Pentecostal ambush. How many of y'all come back next week? All right. It's important to God what you do with your body. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I told you to buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be some ride. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know they don't teach this in a lot of churches. Did you know that? When's the last time you went to church and heard a message like this?
We're thankful.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, Pastor Young, that's just unreasonable. That's just, I know what the Bible says, but the Bible was written thousands of years ago, and these people didn't know anything. And listen, many times we have the mistaken idea that the people we read about in the Bible were country bumpkins. You know, not erudite, not scholarly, didn't know much, you know, kind of backwards. You don't know your Bible. Many of these Gentile people were very, very educated, very cosmopolitan, very aware of what was going on around them. They didn't have smartphones and the internet. You with me?
Yep.
I mean, they were performing surgery in Abraham's day. Surgery. They knew a lot of things. Think about the first man, Adam. Anybody here ever study biology? Anybody ever have a biology class? You know, I was a biology major at Penn State my first year. I wanted to be a veterinarian until I found out what veterinarians really do. Then I thought, I don't want to do that. And I wasn't getting into veterinary school with a 2.2 GPA. Are you with me? So I switched to business, and it worked just great. But I spent that first year memorizing enzymes, protoplasms, I mean, all of this stuff. Do you know that the first man, Adam, the guy who said, so shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. This guy named the entire animal kingdom in one day.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
This dude was sharp. He was just like the one who created God.
Yeah.
He was sharp. I mean, he was on the ball.
Right.
He was no dummy.
Right.
Neither were his children or his descendants. Now, we think, that doesn't apply. The Bible was written thousands of years ago. Listen, there was one church that's written about in the New Testament, the church at Corinth. And this is who Paul is writing to. The church at Corinth was a very cosmopolitan group of people. Corinth was a seaport town on the Mediterranean. People came from all over the known world to worship in Corinth. Because in Corinth, there was a temple dedicated to the worship of Aphrodite, the love goddess, or the Greeks called her Venus. And if you want a really crazy study, find out how Aphrodite, or the myth of Aphrodite, started. I won't go into it, but it's pretty gross. Now, Aphrodite was a myth, but this cult was strong in Corinth. And in actuality, it was demonic entities that propagated this thing. In Corinth, there was a temple dedicated to the worship of Aphrodite. And in that temple, there were 1,000 temple priestesses. And the way you worship Aphrodite, the love goddess, was by going to Corinth and having sex with one of the temple priestesses. And not only did you just have sex, but they gave you drugs, and they had wild music that He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What know ye not, or don't you know, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, listen to me. Here's what you've got to see. The reason Paul wrote this to these people was in Gentile culture, sex outside of marriage is common. Hey, it's just the way they live. But now he's writing to men who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's telling them to flee, to run from illicit sexual activity. Why? He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? They knew about temples. They knew about presences. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, lives in your body. And when you take your body and you lie down and have sex with a man or woman who's not your husband, you're bringing God into this thing. And then he says, don't you know that you're bought with a price and you are not your own? Listen to me. That's a very poor translation. That phrase, you are not your own, it's the Greek word hiatu. And what it literally means is you are not alone. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And so you have to protect the presence of God in you. And that means you watch what you do with this body. And he's writing to people who used to worship at the temple of Aphrodite. You know, in ancient culture, in Corinth, if you wanted to get close to God, Aphrodite, you went to the temple and had sex. And who didn't want to get close to God? Are you with me? And so he's warning them, you need to stay away from this stuff. In other words, don't be influenced by that culture. That used to be the way you lived. But now the Holy Ghost lives in you. See, I'm one of these old school guys. I still believe that when you come to Jesus, he changes something on the inside.
Amen.
He changes. That is why, now this has the potential to get me in trouble. I'm going to say it anyway. That is why I am careful who I associate with. There are men who are in the ministry who are unfaithful sexually. I avoid those people. Oh, Pastor Young, you're hard, you're stuck up. No, that's biblical. The Bible says if a man be called a brother is involved in illicit sexual activity, don't even have lunch with him. Are you with me? Well, you know, I love everybody. I reach out to everybody. I'm willing to help anybody. But when somebody is in quote-unquote ministry, I remember there's a pastor down in Tampa. His name is Greg Poe. And he's doing a wonderful work down there. And when he started his church, he reached out to all of the other ministry brethren that he could and befriended them and shared with them. And so they got real comfortable with him. And one particular denominational pastor got so comfortable with Pastor Poe, he said, hey, why don't you run with me today? He said, sure. He said, we'll go have lunch. He said, then I'll take you by my girlfriend's apartment. And he said, what? He said, you mean you and your wife have two places? No. This is my girlfriend. And Pastor Poe said, I'm done with you, Jack. No, that's not God. And you call yourself a minister of the gospel? I can stand there for weeks and tell you stories, but I won't. All right? Because that is not the way a Christian is supposed to live, let alone somebody in leadership or in ministry. Okay? We need to live our lives in such a way that, sure, the culture is there, but we're not influenced by it. Number one. Number two, we don't look down our nose at people. We love people. We're not trying to hurt people. We're trying to help people. Okay? And there are people who are involved in all kinds of bondages. I love them, reach out to them, and do my best to help them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So I'm not one of these kind of people that, separate yourself. But when somebody's in said to these Gentiles who've been born again, don't you know that your body, verse 19, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not alone. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to teach you how to do it. And that's what I'm going to spend the bulk of my time next week doing. I'm going to teach you how to flee. I'm going to teach you how to be free. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you a little bit of a preview. You know, and Margie, Greg, you guys can identify with this because both of us were at the Pentecostal Holiness Church. I am still Pentecostal Holiness. I'm about as Pentecostal as you can get. I mean, I look like it. And I believe that you need to live a life of, what is holiness? Exemplifying the character of Christ in your life. It's not rules and regulations. It's not the length of your skirt, how you wear your hair. See, we've been there, haven't we? I remember one time I had a pastor come to me. I love this guy. And we were planning an event, and one of my cousins happened to come into his church and sit down. And Lord have mercy. She had skinny jeans on before there were skinny jeans. Tight jeans. So this preacher sneaks up behind me and says, Brother Young. I said, yeah. He said, you got to tell her to cover up. I said, what? You got to tell her to cover up. I said, cover up what? He said, she's got slacks on. I said, so what? What? Well, they thought it was a sin for a woman to wear pants. They also thought it was a sin for a woman, listen to this, to have open-toed shoes. They thought it was a sin for a woman to have, Valerie, what do you call this woman? Strapless, okay? Where they could see her armpits. Oh, Lord have mercy. Going to bust hell wide open because we saw your armpits. If you get turned on by armpits, if you get turned on by toes, if you get turned on by pants, listen, all of us, men, listen to me. We are attracted by what we see. Men are very visual. And they see an attractive woman, it gets their attention. God made us that way. But men, you can control your body.
Amen. Sure.
You can't help what you see, but you can't help what you look at. Nothing wrong with admiring somebody's beauty. Hey, that's a pretty girl. But you don't have to stare at her. See? And there are times when you know your flesh is going the wrong way, you need to use some tools. One of them, avert the eyes. Quit looking.
Just say no.
Just say no? Okay. You need a little more of that. Okay. Now, when I was 13 years old, I remember I just got saved and had been baptized the year before. And there was a girl from our town who wanted to go berry picking. Naive, stupid me. And, I almost said a name. Thank God. Anyway. I grew up in a little small town. I think only two of you know where it is anyway. But she said, you want to go berry picking? I said, sure. So, you know, dumb me, heading up there by the coca. It's coal mining town, you know. And got back in the bushes, and she took her blouse off. Whoa. What is this? Hey, I had no idea what she was doing. But she took her blouse off, started unbuttoning her pants. And you know what I did? I turned around and went home. Scared me. It did. It scared me. Why, good Lord. Out here in the berry bushes? And you know, I'm stuck up. It did. It frightened me. I went home. I left. Fast forward 40-some years. I happened to be in a little church in our little hometown. My mother had passed away. So I went back there for my mother's funeral, and guess who I saw? Same girl who wanted to have sex in the berry patch. And I was able to look her in the eye, and I thought to myself, thank God I sales, when you go anywhere, you look for people who look like you. You look to identify with somebody. And I had the big fro, the big old sideburns. And I was looking for somebody like me, and I found one guy, Tom Pickens. Tom Pickens was an associate minister at Crenshaw Christian Center in L.A. And Tom and I, in fact, last time I went to Tulsa, his son is now a student at Raymer. And we talked for a little bit. But I remember Tom sharing this. He said when he grew up in the 70s, he said the three greatest things on earth were miniskirts, sex, and birth control. He said, I thought I was in heaven. Then I came to Jesus, got saved, and realized that my body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I still had the ladies coming over my house. So what was I going to do? The only thing he knew to do was put his Bible in his lap. He said that was one barrier they wouldn't cross. That was one barrier he wouldn't cross. And then he learned some tools to use to live a different lifestyle. Now he and his wife, Donna, have been blessed. They've got wonderful children. They've got a wonderful relationship. See, that's what God wants you to have.
Right. Amen.
That's what God wants you to have. Amen. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to enjoy sex. He wants it to be good. But I'm here to tell you that if you're not married, that you are in control. There's no such thing as that I can't help it. You ever get that? I couldn't help it. Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But I can't help it, Pastor. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You just don't know how to use the tools. And so I'll share with you the tools so that you can live an exciting life. You also coming back next week?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've taught long enough. How much time have I done, Pastor? It's hard to.
No, we're good.
49?
49, 55.
Cool. I'll go another minute.
Make it 50.
Make it 50. So we don't want to be influenced by the culture, but rather we want to influence the culture. If you would, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is where we'll begin next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What you do with your body is important, and it matters to God. He wants you to live an exciting, vibrant, healthy life, and He's the manufacturer, and He knows how to do it right.
Amen.
Amen.
There again, if you've missed it in the past, I'm not concerned about that. I'm only concerned about your life forward. Amen?
Amen.
If you need to make some adjustments, make some adjustments. We've all been there. All of us.
Yes.
All right? We've all been there. I wish I could tell you I ran from every woman. But I can take pride in this. When I was married to Peggy, 32 years, never in a faithful group, not once. Not once. When we were engaged, not once. I'm engaged to Valerie. It'll never happen. Now, I've said that, and I've had preachers cringe. So what's the matter, bro? Say all that. Why not? Well, they're more afraid of lying than they are to an adult. I don't understand that. I said, you better be bold and say it.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know.
Sure.
Yeah. You can do it. Yep. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yep.
Are you with me? Now, I will say I didn't have some wonderful opportunities. Oh, I had some beautiful opportunities. But I passed them up. Why? They ain't worth it. They're not worth it. It's outside of God's plan. Amen. Now listen, if you are in a sexual relationship with somebody, and you're not married to them, I'm not telling you God doesn't love you. He does. I'm not telling you that you're going to bust hell wide open. But I am telling you, you need to make an adjustment. You're outside of God's plan. He's got better for you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yep.
He's got better for you. And there are times you need to make some hard decisions. I had a dear sister when we were in St. Louis come to me, and she said, Pastor Young, I need your help. I said, sure. She said, well, it's me and my husband. Now, her husband I never met, was not born again. She was. She said, my husband hasn't touched me in 18 months. I said, you guys are married? But, oh, yeah, he hasn't touched me in 18 months. I said, he's got another woman. Oh, no, Pastor, not my husband. No, 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 no. My husband, I mean, he works hard, he provides, blah, 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 blah. said, listen to me, he's got another woman.
Oh,
she was adamant. No, he's faithful to me. There's something where he just had. About 2 weeks later, she found out he was not only having an affair, but it was with a 15, 16-year-old girl. And this man's in his 40s. Then the whole thing blew up. You know what I mean? Now, why did I tell you that story? If you use the tools that God has provided, you can enjoy a good, healthy, vibrant sexual relationship with your spouse, whether they're saved or not. Are you with me?
Yep.
And you can influence them for good. But if you just live your life by the seat of your pants, you're in trouble. Okay? God didn't design for you to live your life by the seat of your pants, just taking whatever happens and, you know. No, you need to live your life with purpose. You need to have a plan and execute that plan. And God will help you do it. And he'll give you the tools to do it. Are you with me?
Yep.
So, there are some things that we can use, and I'd like you to look at these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 14, and I'll close with this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part does he with that believes with an infidel? And what agreement, notice this, has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm not going to get into this in depth today, but when he says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, the word unclean is the Greek word akathartos, and it means something that is morally lewd or perverted. Come out from among them and don't touch the morally lewd or perverted stuff. And I will receive you, be a father unto you. Now, what is he saying? He's simply saying if you'll use biblical principles, the tools, to live your life with limits and boundaries and avoid those areas that God wants you to stay away from, he will bless your socks off.
Amen.
You with me?
Yep.
He'll elevate you to a place of what we call favor. Or as they say in among nations, favored nation status.
Yep.
In other words, there's a blessing waiting for you when you do it his way. But that phrase, come out from among them to be separate, doesn't mean that you run from sinners. It doesn't mean that when Cousin Pookie comes over the house and even shacking with 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 different women, that you lock your doors and grab your gun. No, invite him in. Love on him. Fix him something good and extend the love of Christ to him. Are you with me? Doesn't mean you run from him. It simply means that you don't live like Pookie does. You live your life with limits and boundaries and you exclude some things. And guess who's blessed? You are. Not Pookie. You are blessed. And when Pookie sees the blessing of God on you, he's going to want in on it. Are you with me? There is a difference, you know. But if you want to continue to struggle and be without and do without and bump your head up against the wall and can't figure out what you're supposed to do with your life, keep living the way you live. Are you with me? God has something better in store for you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm done. Aren't you glad? Would you stand with me, please?
Well, God is good. I'm trying to get this digital recorder off. Almost there.